Welcome to Day Zero Update for December 8th, 2024. I'm your host, Chris Sologi.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Danra Victor.
And yeah, we've got a big week of news here, as a bunch of stuff has happened. We had a PC gaming showcase that had a few interesting things there. A number of industry news, some bad, some good. And we had a bunch of stuff get dates, so kind of getting the things out of the way before the Game Awards happens here later this week. But yeah, before we get to that, I'll talk about what we've been playing, and I'll kick it off here. I started up Infinity Nikki, a bit of a weirdly titled game, but one that, if you've played Genshin Impact, you've seen like 90% of what it's doing. Because I was playing for a few hours there, and I was like, okay, so when's it going to get to this thing? And it's like, oh, there it is. How about this, you know, these, you know, mechanics for getting money out of people? And it's like all the same stuff. Daily logins, the currency you get to get rolls on these things, all that kind of stuff. The thing that it does differently as a gacha game is instead of it being characters, you're always playing as Nikki, a girl who gets transported to a different world, where her dress gives her powers, I guess. You kind of get a little bit of an abilities at the start of the game where you get a few different abilities to test out at first, then get to a person that kind of strips you of those dresses and those abilities and kind of sends you to another world. But you get them back within like an hour or two, so it's not really too much of a chore there. And yeah, it's the instead of characters, it's all various parts of your outfit and attire and all that, and your look as well, because yeah, it's pretty extensive beyond just basic dress stuff. You got, you know, shoes, you got things you can wear on your wrist, things you can put in your hair, hats, all the way down to things like rings and jewelry and makeup and even skin color, I guess. Is part of that that's weird. You start off with, I think, three skin colors. I think it's like a white skin color, a dark skin color, and then one that's kind of in the middle. And they all show up in the cutscenes, so that's at least nice. And that's a big departure from Genshin Impact, because even for the characters that it has that are not white, they are as light of a skin as possible. So that's been a common complaint, that there's no real racial diversity there, despite all the characters that they have added to the game. Even for the ones representing, you know, nations, essentially versions of nations from around the world, that kind of stuff. But here, that's a bit less of an issue, at least from the few hours I've played here, at least for the character you can control. The ones you interact with may be all whites. I don't really remember too much about the specific characters I've talked to, but yeah, the story-wise, you're kind of just dealing with the search for, I forget what they call it, the not mystery dresses or something, like it's like some term for like the top tier of dress that she is searching for, that are kind of a mythical kind of thing. You have like a like a encyclopedia of sorts of that, of different kinds of dresses and all that. And as you, you know, get pieces, you get and fill, you know, finish up the set for the basic dress, you get currency out of that, you know, all that kind of stuff that you would expect as you collect things. It's kind of a big collectathon of sorts, not just the dresses, but you're also collecting these whim stars that I guess also get used in like a skill tree kind of thing. But the controls are pretty well done here as kind of a big 3D platformer. You get your dress kind of transforms for your main basic abilities, which includes like a floating jump kind of thing that lets you get across gaps. You also get one for attacking, which is kind of called purification. That is kind of shooting an orb of something to take down enemies, kind of thing. And then I forget what the last one is. I guess it's your basic dress. I forget what the other one is, but yeah, it's kind of these different ones you're collecting here. But I think the dresses and all that, beyond that's maybe mostly cosmetic, though I think there's still some, they have some abilities, because there's one that I'm trying to get that I think gives you a photo mode or something. I'm not sure. I'm still pretty early in, so I'm not 100% sure about what all the potential abilities will be, but they do hint at a lot of stuff with some of the stuff you can get rolls for launch here on a PS5. It's also out on mobile and PC. I think it's been out on those two platforms for a little while now. But the game looks nice. It's got a nice vibe to it. It's very chill in a lot of its story and all that. So it's a pretty solid game. But yeah, it's got lots of hooks to potentially get money out of you. So if you can
that,
you can unlock a decent amount of free stuff along the way. So there you go for that one, Infinity Nikki. Let's see. I've been trying to catch up on some stuff I have been... I played in the past, and I'm trying to beat them. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. I've been trying to get back on track for where I left off, as I left off on a quest that was basically asking me to go one of two directions to get new abilities that I can use for... opening up this area eventually, and kind of managed to go like most of the way on both of them, but never far enough to find the thing I needed. But I managed to use a guide and get to where I needed to go for the one direction, and got this interesting new ability that kind of lets you grab explosive enemies and like throw them around as bombs to blow up walls that I've been seeing a lot to block off other passages, so that's nice to see. And now I got to go back the other direction and get the other ability that I'm missing, which may require a guide because it's going to another area that I've mostly explored, but maybe missed the one thing or wherever I'm supposed to go. So still got work to go for there. And the last game I've been playing to get caught up on his Tales of Kinzera Zao. Another Metroid like that came out early this year. This one's not as meaty of experience, particularly because it was a much cheaper game. It was $20 versus 50, and it definitely feels like it for the amount of content that seems to be in there. I've finished up the second act of 4. And I'm working my way through the newest area, but I've also been going back to some of the others to get the collectibles. Like the amount of collectibles that there are in Prince of Persia is quite a lot of stuff, and things that can upgrade your health and all this. But Tales of Kinzera Zao usually has like 3 to 5 things in each new section of the map, and they're not particularly hard to find. You just generally look at like, oh, here's this area that's black, so I probably need to go down there and see what's going on. Especially as you get abilities that will make that a bit easier. And so I've been doing that, upgrading my health a good bit. I've unlocked some challenge like missions that they give you where they just throw a bunch of enemies at you in various waves that test your skills with that combat system, which come from Prince of Persia, is takes a bit of getting used to, because Prince of Persia is very much your kind of classic action game style of combat system, whereas Tales of Kinzer Zao, as you kind of go on back and forth between the fire and or like sun and moon masks that you have for their different combat styles, with the moon being sort of more ranged attacks and the sun being more melee attacks. So you get a bit of both of those, and you'll have enemies that have shields that are, you know, orange or blue for telling you which ones to use to take down their shields and do damage to them. That kind of stuff that is pretty well done. But yeah, it definitely takes a little bit to getting used to that stuff. But been enjoying that a lot. I think the story is a lot better. It's more succinct for what it's trying to do, and more successful at that versus Prince of Persia, which is just bad guy did a thing and is off in this area to enact their plan, and you're trying to stop them. Whereas here, it's this young shaman who has lost his father recently and has made a deal with this, you know, potential god of death to get him back if he does a few things for him. Mm-hmm. And I assume at a certain point he learns to cope with his father's death and move on. But that seems like the general thing they're going for. But yeah, that's a nicely paced game where you kind of keep moving quickly. Doesn't throw combat at you constantly. Once you clear out an area's sort of main quest, the amount of combat that's in that area is pretty minimal. Usually you might have a couple of enemies show up here and there, but not like they are in Prince of Persia, where it's like a Souls game where they just keep coming back every time you save and come back to that area.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's Tales of Kinzer Zao. Definitely one to check out if you haven't played it yet. It's on PlayStation Plus Extra. But if you also want to support the game, it's $20. So I think a lot of the people that worked on it have been laid off for the time being. So yeah, that's unfortunate. But yeah, that's been pretty much what I've been doing. So how about you, Brandon?
I've been sort of pecking away at Metal Max Returns on my PC, but most of it has been spent on the Demon's Souls remake. And I finally beat my fourth boss last night. It was the Fool's Idol in Prison of Hope, which is a area that's essentially like really it's compared to like some of the other places you go into in the game, which has a more opened up feel. The Prison of Hope is a lot more shut in and compact and kind of claustrophobic, if I'll be completely honest. Essentially, it is exactly as it says. It's a prison tower, and it's basically being patrolled by mind flayers, who are basically magic-based enemies that will either launch like a magic projectile at you, or they'll hit you with a paralysis spell where they then lock you in place and then use it so that you know, they can, you know, do that thing that they do that mind flayers typically do. And it usually ends up killing you. I managed to get to, you know, to the boss of that first part of that, which is, again, the Fool's Idol, which ended up being a fairly easy boss, all things considered. Actually, probably the easiest boss I've come in contact with in this game so far. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's more of a gimmick boss than anything else. Essentially, it's a boss that, you know, it attacks using, you know, projectile magic. It also has these environmental moves that it'll do where it'll, you know, it can do stuff like freeze you in place or stuff like that. But, you know, once you get up to them and hit them a couple of times, what ends up happening is they end up creating clones of themselves. And while you're fighting them, there's also like all of these different like prisoners and stuff that are walking around, because you encounter a bunch of these guys like all through the game. Some of them attack you, some of them don't. It's never really easy to figure out which is which, but The thing is, they always sort of move towards the real Fool's Idol. And on top of that, all of the clone of that that you come into contact with, they all have their own individual health bars, whereas the real one only has the one health bar. So it was, all in all, it was actually pretty easy. But then again, I also had like a rapier that was like +9. So I was already, you know, taking out the mind flayers in like 2 hits. It wasn't exactly, you know, that thing. There was, of course, this this like huge statue that was like this ballista contraption that would like constantly shoot like ballista bolts at you in like 2 different volleys while you're trying to go up this this corridor. And you actually cannot like try and dodge them or any of them. Like, you can't use a shield. It'll just knock the shield away, and you can't dodge them because the 2 volleys come really fast and you can only dodge one of them at best. So eventually what ends up happening is you have to like get around behind it from another area in the tower and then switch it off. But yeah, that game was so after that, I'm sort of, thinking I'm probably going to go to the Island's Edge, which is one of the other places, so I can get the adjudicator boss. But yeah, I'm basically gotten like a third of the bosses taken care of now. So now we're just sort of, you know, strengthening up and getting into the more or less the part 2 of the game, more or less. But yeah, that's what I've been playing. So Danro, what about you?
Yeah, my situation hasn't really changed all that much. Still don't have. I might have a lead later on this week. So if that happens, that'd be really looking forward to it. Until now, I'm still playing Last Time I Saw You, and I think I'm near the ending because we've gotten to a part where things have gotten pretty emotional, and yeah, that's pretty much how these games go. So again, like, this takes place like in late 1800s Japan, and there's a whole lot of Japanese folklore. So like, when you begin the game, like you use this like 10-year-old youth, and you explore this well-lit meadow, and you come across this girl, and you don't really know whether this kid is invested into her well-being, whether he's in love with her or whether he just thinks she's interesting. But it turns out like she has control of the weather, and you know, this typhoon happens in Japan that like wipes out a whole lot of life there, and it's looking like it's going to happen again. And you know, it's up to this kid to just try to figure out the mystery, try to help her out. And in doing so, he enters like this forbidden forest where he meets certain yokai, he comes across a kappa, you know, all these different mythological creatures in Japanese folklore. And it's really interesting trying to see. The thing that I'm most impressed about with this game is just the way the art style and animation is. Like, this game is easily like one of the most beautiful side scrollers I've ever played. Like, it really brings me back to playing Braid for the first time. You know, like, Braid was like one of my first side scrollers in HD, and I sort of have like the same feeling when I play Last Time as You. So I am on day 9. I believe there are 12 days in this game, and each one is a little bit longer than the previous one, but at the same time, it's cozy enough where, you know, you don't feel like you're doing a whole lot, but at the same time, when you play the game for an hour, it feels like a lot in that regard. So there's that. I've also downloaded Marvel Rivals. I haven't logged into it yet, but this was a game that I really enjoyed during the beta period, and I'm looking forward to jumping back in there. I've also downloaded Infinity Nikki, and I saw that the Indiana Jones game dropped on Game Pass earlier today. So I'm looking forward to going into that. The main thing, though, is I've only seen Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, which, you know, it's not exactly the best movie to go off of. But at the same time, I'm really looking forward to it. And my main thing with indie in general is, aside from not watching them all, is I'm not really looking forward to seeing how the game is in first person. But, you know, from some of the coverage that I've seen, I'm looking forward to actually going through a lot of the exploratory levels and, like, you know, not having to fight a whole lot. You know, I heard that there's a good amount of exploration without a lot of combat, and like that's the kind of experience that I'm looking for right now. I also got Fantasia for the Switch. This game originally came out on Apple Arcade, and yeah, I haven't booted it up yet, but that's something I plan on doing tonight. So that's about it for me.
All right, so yeah, let's get to some news, and we got some subscription news here for Game Pass, as they have decided to just announce what's going to be coming for about the next month or so.
Mm-hmm.
I guess instead of having different posts scheduled for the holiday season there. So we'll work our way through this as of December 4th. Let's see. They have Crash Team Racing and Nitro Fueled for Game Pass Ultimate, Standard, and Core. That is the long-awaited remake of Crash Team Racing that they finally brought out. Yeah, so you can check that one out. That's one of the first Activision Blizzard games to get on there. First handful there. They're slowly trickling them out there instead of putting at least groups of them up there. That would have been nice. Let's see. Also available now for Game Pass Standard, Forza Motorsport. So if you've not checked that out and you have that cheaper tier, you can check that one out. Also on Game Pass Standard, Haunty. That's a cool little maybe Zelda-ish puzzle game. That's very fun. Also on Game Pass Standard, Humanity. That's a really good puzzle game. So there's one to check out. Let's see. Also available for Ultimate and PC Game Pass, EA Sports WRC for PC and Xbox through EA Play. They put that on their vault list. So if you have that Game Pass Ultimate or EA Play on any of the other platforms, you can check that out. And also available now, Overthrown in game preview for PC and Xbox. For Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass, this is, yeah, I think this is like a town building game of sorts with a little bit of life sim stuff, I guess. So you can check that one out now. Let's see what else here. Coming up on December 9th, that'll be Monday, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle finally is out for Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass on PC and Xbox. That one's been getting good reviews, so hopefully that is cool. If you wanted to play it before now for the weekend, you would have had to give them $30 for their the upgrade for the deluxe edition or whatever it's called. So yeah, there you go for that. Also, it seems like the last one here for December, for December 10th on Tuesday, Wild Frost for Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass. This is a tactical roguelike deck builder. So that's neat. And I'm going to guess there's going to be other stuff added maybe during the game wards. We'll see. But yeah, that's what they have for December. And they have two more in January. For January 2nd, Carrion is coming to Game Pass Ultimate, PC Game Pass, and Game Pass Standard. Kind of returning to Game Pass, signing a new deal for that on a console and PC, so you can check that one out. Then on January 7th, Road 96, that's also one that's returning to Game Pass for Game Pass Ultimate, PC Game Pass, and Game Pass Standard. That's a road trip game. Sort of a narrative adventure game, choose your own adventure kind of thing. So yeah, that's that seems to be it here.
Yeah, it's obviously a pretty good month, of course, highlighted by Indiana Jones, but it's also cool seeing CTR there. You know, Crash Team Racing is definitely a really fun racing game, and, you know, we're starting to see some of the stuff coming from Activision. You know, it would have been nice if they dropped everything there all at once, but at the same time, it's the drip feed is useful just to get people excited and, you know, wondering what's coming next. And Carrion's a really underrated one that...
So yeah, there you go for that. We got some PlayStation news here. They did a cool update for the PS5. that added a new boot up for the system that is the PlayStation 1 boot up logo and music and all that. That is pretty cool. They also have themes based on the different generations, so that if you want to have your, you know, PS5 dashboard with like a weird PS1 on the top like quarter of the screen, you can do that. There's also PS2, PS3, and PS4 versions of that. I think the PS2 has like the little towers blocks thing on there. Yeah, it's a little weird. You can definitely tell it wasn't made for how the PS5 dashboard works, because it just cuts off that background art you get on the games. So like one of the games I was looking at, Banishers, it just cuts off the heads of the characters on it. Because that's just kind of a weird little thing. Seems like the downside of this is that it is a limited time thing. Which is a shame. I think it should just keep it there as a thing you can kind of keep using as part of the anniversary celebration. But I don't know, maybe they'll add them later as just general theme options. I don't know. But the fact they have them there should make it seem like themes are coming at some point. But that's a cool thing they added.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I love PlayStation. You know, they've been around for the majority of my life as a gamer. I ended up activating the PS2 skin or theme or whatever you want to call it, and it's pretty nifty. Even though, like, you know, what Chris said, like, they don't really do a good job of, like, putting in the backgrounds you otherwise would use for the games on the PS5. I do appreciate the little sounds and other Easter eggs that they put there. And I don't mean to be a spoil sport, but it sucks that, you know, eventually these are going to go away. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I'm pretty sure I'll know this when they...
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but at least we get to enjoy them for a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's see. They also have some more Sony news. My first Gran Turismo is finally launched. Mm-hmm. They announced this as part of the 30th anniversary celebration. They had this game coming, and it's basically a trial version of Gran Turismo 7 with a handful of cars and tracks for you to enjoy, as well as some extra stuff in there. It works with PSVR 2, so if you want to see how that works, you can do that, try that out. So that's pretty cool. Just a nice little way for people to get into the game and check it out and see if they maybe want the full thing. There you go for that bit of news there. Let's see what else here. There's a new demo out now for The Alters, that cool looking game from 11-bit Studios that is basically kind of a survival management kind of game. We're managing this crew of Jans, who are clones of a guy named Jan, who are trying to keep this station they're on in good shape, as well as explore the world around them and all that, and try and figure out like what's what they need to do to survive and all the kind of weird stuff that happens when you have a bunch of clones of one person living together. So that's a demo you can check out here before it comes out sometime next year. So there you go for that. And we do have some Nintendo Switch Online news for some more subscription stuff. They announced, as we expected, the Game Boy game Donkey Kong Land 3 has been added to the Game Boy app on Nintendo Switch Online. So if you've been wanting to see how the trilogy ends there, that's what they did. That one follows Donkey Kong Country 3's kind of general premise, where Diddy and Donkey Kong have been kidnapped, so Dixie and Kitty Kong are, you know, going on an adventure to save them. So you get that fun thing there. So There you go for that. The other announcement they had is that the NES app is getting the Nintendo version of Tetris on December 12th. So that is the like the first time they've brought that version out. The Game Boy version has been on, I think, the 3DS eShop and is now on the been on the Game Boy app for a little while now. But yeah, this is the other game that is also not in the Tetris Forever collection, unfortunately, because you know Nintendo does not want to relinquish their rights to have this as an exclusive on their platforms. So these are two games you'll hear talked about a good bit in Tetris Forever, but are not part of that collection. You just get the Famicom Tetris game, which is different, made by a different studio. So that's as close as you can get to that. But you get to learn sort of how those games came around or came about, the work that was put into acquire the rights to make them. So, yeah, there you go.
I'll just quickly say that you know I've never played any Donkey Kong Land game, so I'm definitely getting to try these out. And then for Tetris, you know, I've said this before. Tetris is mostly the same to me. So I'll try this out if it feels any different, or better.
Okay.
We got some more games coming out in the near future. We got some dates here from the PC Gaming Showcase that happened earlier this week. We got Tales of Iron 2, Whiskers of Winter is finally coming out on January 28th. They were planning on February, but it seems like they decided to move it up a little bit. For that, this is a the first game is at least is a cool kind of 2D Souls-like kind of game that is pretty well done. So looking forward to this sequel. It's going to be on PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. So that's cool to see. They got pre-order discounts, so you can get your pre-orders in whenever for about 20% less for that. So it'll be about $20 instead of $25. So that's a pretty decent price. And the other game we got a date on here is Citizen Sleeper 2. Starward Vector will be out January 31st. That's the at least acclaimed RPG that the first game was. It seems like it'll be on PS5, a Switch, Xbox, and PC, as well as Game Pass, so you can check it out there. One of those kind of sci-fi RPGs that people have said is really well done, so I might have to check out that first game and see what it's doing before this one comes out. So yeah, those are some solid games to keep an eye on for early next year. And then we had another game get a new date, also moving up a little bit. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 was supposed to be out February 11th, but they've moved it up a week to February 4th, I'm guessing, to get out of the way of the other big games coming out that month.
That's
Civilization 7, I believe, is coming out on the 11th. So.
Yep. So yeah, totally understandable. And I am kind of anticipating it. I played the original back when it came out and I actually really enjoyed it. In fact, my review is still up on Smashpad for anybody who wants to see it. My one thing is I'm hoping that they did a little bit work on making the combat a bit more easy to comprehend, because the combat in Kingdom Come Deliverance is definitely like it has a definite learning curve, because it's heavily based around swinging around your weapon, you know, manually using one of the sticks and, you know, being able to sort of predict ahead of time, you know, but not necessarily predict, but being able to see like which angle your enemy's weapon is coming at to try and block them. Yeah, and of course, they're also in this, since I'm pretty sure that this game's taking place like during the Hussite War, so I'm pretty sure this is the point where they're going to start introducing like firearms and stuff into the mix. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, but yeah, I'm definitely kind of anticipating it.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that. And the last one here that we have a date for, Wanderstop, will finally be out on March 11th.
Mm-hmm.
This is the new game from Ivy Road, which includes, yeah, let me see, the guy behind the Stanley Parable and the Beginner's Guide, Davey Reedon,
mm-hmm.
As well as Carla Zamonja, co-creator of Gone Home and Tacoma, and Daniel Rosenfield, also known as C418, who made the music for Minecraft,
mm-hmm.
Are all working at this studio on this game. So that seems like a lot of good talent to make a really interesting game where it seems like you're kind of just hanging out, dealing with a tea shop and probably other weird stuff happening, probably some mm-hmm. meta things. So that all looks pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that'll be out March 11th for people to check out. So
yeah,
here you go. I believe that's PS5 and PC for mm-hmm. that. So yeah. We did get a couple of new games announced out of that showcase. First one up here is Moonlighter 2, The Endless Vault for mm-hmm. PS5, Xbox, and PC. Sequel to the fairly popular roguelite shopkeeper game, where mm-hmm. you're basically running a shop, and during the evening you are going into this dungeon to take on enemies and collect materials and such that you can turn into things you want to sell in your shop.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of funding and upgrading your town and upgrading your equipment and doing all that kind mm-hmm. of fun stuff. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. It's a very fun game with a fun loop. And this looks to take that idea and kind of bring it into 3D, which is, was a neat surprise to see there. So you kind of get a little bit more isometric kind of look to the way the world and the combat works. So that looks like it'll be neat. The other game that we got an announcement for, which was a big surprise, is that there's another Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game coming. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tactical Takedown.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the PC at the moment, from the developer Strange Scaffold, who made mm-hmm. El Paso Elsewhere, Click Holding, and a bunch of other small games. This seems like maybe their biggest game yet. It is a turn-based tactical game, as you can probably guess. It is inspired by the classic cartoon art style, but it's set well later as Splinter and Shredder are dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the turtles are approaching adulthood. They are potentially growing apart as brothers, and I guess you're dealing with all the consequences of all that.
Yeah, and it looks like the main villain is Victor. And I keep forgetting what her name is, but she was, for those who don't remember, if you play, she's kind of a sort of a weird character because she shows up in like the oddest ways. I don't know if you guys remember the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters. Yeah, she was actually the final boss character in that game.
Yeah.
And but yeah, it looks interesting.
Yeah. It's really neat, and it's nice to see a new take on the turtles here.
Mm-hmm.
Especially coming from a studio that's known for just making a bunch of weird games.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be fun to see. No date or anything on that, just coming to PC, I don't know, maybe consoles at some point, but yeah, neat. All right, so yeah, that's looking neat. So yeah, next Kevin up Ellie. Here, Dragon Quest III HD 2D Remake has reached 2 million shipments and digital sales, which is yeah. great.
Yeah, that's and of course, like half of that is entirely in Japan itself. But yeah, I mean, that game is considered a classic for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's cool that it's getting, you know, getting new life.
Yeah, especially over here where we didn't really get it, at least not to the degree that Japan did.
No, we, for much of its history, we had it as Dragon Warrior, and they basically bastardized the hell out of those games when they came over here.
Yeah, just kind of made it a much different way of releasing it. Not unlike the Final Fantasy games as well, which also suffered from them kind of pick and choosing which games to bring over and changing the names and all that to make it harder to know which game is which, and all that. So yeah, this one finally getting the love and attention that it deserves as a classic in that series, and then they're going to follow it up early next year or sometime next year with the remakes of the first two games. That'll be cool to see as well.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of round out that trilogy that must have been great to kind of see how it all tied together originally.
Mm.
Whereas here we're just like finding out about that fairly recently.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there's that. And in more Square Enix news, the director of Visions of Mana, Ryosuke Yoshida, mm-hmm. has left Oka Studios that made that game.
Yep.
So had a bunch of layoffs as well shortly after the game came out.
Yeah, I do believe we talked about that very briefly.
Yeah, but he has left Oka Studios to join Square Enix itself.
Mm-hmm.
I assume to get away from the chaos of being owned by NetEase and with mm-hmm. a slightly more stable company there mm-hmm. that will be able to fund future projects for him, mm-hmm. which is great to see. He says here, on a personal note, I quit NetEase Oka Studios on October 31st. Mm. We were a new studio, but we were able to release Visions of Mana. I'm grateful to the development team and NetEase for their support. It was a very good experience. Thank you all. I'm happy to announce that I joined Square Enix in December. I'll do my best to make a game that many people can enjoy. So, yeah, he originally worked at Capcom, where he's an assistant planner on Lost Planet 2, game designer on Monster Hunter Generations. Mm-hmm. And was a designer on Devil May Cry 5, so he's definitely moved up a bit since then.
Yeah, he's definitely got experience, that's for sure.
Yeah, so there's that for some good news. And then, yeah, we got some more good news, two more good stories here. GOG has promised to keep preserving the Warcraft 1 and 2 games that they have on their service for a little bit longer, as Blizzard is going to be pulling them as of, I think, December 13th. As they said, they'll both be removed on December 13th at the publisher's request. But if you buy it, I think they have a special code. I think it's something like Make Warcraft Live Forever or something like that. Look it up. You get a discount on that if you want to buy it before it goes away.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the Blizzard announced recently that they did two remasters for Warcraft 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And are selling those on Battle.net. As you might expect. And I guess work to improve the one for Warcraft 3, which was a piece of shit when it came out.
Oh, God, it was awful.
So now they're selling those on Battle.net, and they're like, well, fuck GOG. We don't need the game over there where it's DRM free anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So GOG has that as part of their preservation program they announced a few weeks ago. So they'll continue to keep making sure it works well with new OS updates and iterations as time goes on.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's good news from GOG. Not so great news from Blizzard, because now those games will be full of DRM.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks for those games.
Seriously. Especially considering, like, all those games, like, got, like, sort of became famous in the mod scene. Like, that's basically where Dota comes from.
Yeah. Dota 2 literally just has the same character models slightly changed to be legally distinct in different names, because they obviously can't steal all of that information for their game. And that was one of those big RTSs in the late 90s and all that. So yeah, it's good that they're offering better versions, but there's no reason to pull them off of GOG other than to try to force people to buy them on your service, where you get more money than when it's on GOG, and that's not surprising from Microsoft-owned Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
Nor even how Blizzard's been acting for the last handful of years.
Yeah, for like the last decade at least.
Yeah. But yeah, there's that. We got some good EA news for once. EA has expanded their free library of accessibility patents to make it easier for other developers and companies to make use of them. 23 new patents they've added to their public library of free accessibility tools. I think these new ones include like photosensitivity analysis plugins, intelligent personalized speech recognition, and generating expressive speech audio from text data.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. They've been doing this stuff. They're also releasing an Unreal Engine 5 plugin that enables in-engine use of EA's photosensitivity analysis tech, which is called Iris, which was open sourced as part of last year's pledge update.
Mm-hmm.
That helps developers analyze and identify frames that could potentially impact players who experience photosensitivity in real time. So that's great to see. So yeah, that's cool. Accessibility stuff should not be privately patented in a way that to keep other people from making their games better for more people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's great to see. Yeah. Right. So
awesome.
Yeah.
And now to something that's not awesome.
Yeah, let's get to the bad news of the week. Number of studio layoffs have been happening here. The biggest one happened at Ubisoft as they announced that they are ending X Defiant service in June. And as part of that, are closing Ubisoft San Francisco and Ubisoft Osaka. I think it's specifically the game development teams there. I think the marketing and publishing team at Ubisoft San Francisco is staying there, but yeah, that's up to 277 staff are going to be laid off there. Half of the X Defiant team will be moved to other projects. That's a game that launched just on May 21st and yeah, did not even make it 6 months before they've decided to shut the game down, though they are going to let people keep playing it for another 6 months. I'm assuming they spent money on servers and all that kind of infrastructure that I'm going to guess was for like a year or so. So they have decided to ride that out versus a number of other games they've been putting out that has not done well, but are still continuing on. So yeah, this is not a huge surprise because X Defiant, despite being just a first-person shooter, it's trying to get in on this weird trend that we've seen of late where people are complaining about skill-based matchmaking in Call of Duty. Not most people. It's mostly like streamers and their fans. Because, you know, skill-based matchmaking kind of generally tries to figure out like sort of what your skill level is at and match you up with other people of a similar skill level, which is not necessarily great for what the average streamer wants. They want to run into, you know, people just starting the game and destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep killing them over and over again. And that doesn't happen as much with skill-based matchmaking. So there's been a number of people just complaining endlessly about that, ruining Call of Duty, and it's like, I don't know, Call of Duty seems to be going just fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
So they made this game that kind of was dealing with that, not having any sort of skill-based matchmaking, as well as maybe being maybe a bit more on the like Counter-Strike kind of FPS end.
Mm-hmm.
With a bit of Call of Duty there to it, and seemed like it was a decent enough shooter, but when you've got, you know, Call of Duty and Counter-Strike
mm-hmm.
Out there, you don't really need one that's trying to aim at this one particular niche that is not a particularly big niche, especially for the amount of time it took for them to get this game out there and how much money that must have taken to get there. To just kind of, I think it started pretty well and then just have been bleeding numbers because people play it and like, this is all right, but I've got, you know, two or three other shooters I can play if I want something that's going to be more satisfying. And I imagine people went back to Call of Duty once Black Ops 6 came out. So not really great news on that front for them. So yeah, they seem to be stopping new downloads, player registrations that will be over if you did not grab it before now. They're still releasing their Season 3 content in the near future, and the servers will remain active until June 3rd. If you purchase the Ultimate Founders Pack, you'll receive a full refund. Anybody who made purchases within the last 30 days will also be fully refunded. Those should happen automatically within 8 weeks of today, and you can find more details on the official website. That's a little rough, I think. 30 days for a game that's been on the market for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could maybe go back 90 days at least, but...
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully there aren't that many people that put tons of money into this game, because I don't know that it ever at any point seemed like it was going to be the next big thing or anything that was going to be self-sustaining for a while.
Yeah.
Unless Ubisoft was just going to fully invest in it like they have been other games.
Mm.
They seem more invested in even stuff like, Skull and Bones. And that's a harsh way to talk about your game, is like Skull and Bones is doing better than you.
Yeah. That's, that's an insult to injury right there.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go on that front. These other ones we don't have numbers on how many have been laid off, but, yeah, Torn Banner Studios, makers of Chivalry, and more recently, No More Room in Hell 2, that's just launched in early access. They have announced that they are laying off a number of people, part of a restructuring of the studio. All affected employees will receive severance packages and have been allowed to keep their work computers. They added that the company is working hard to help people find positions at other studios where we can. They apparently still saying that the No More Room in Hell 2 has done well enough. They're still fully committed to that. The timing seems weird, but maybe the other games, Chivalry 1 and 2, maybe have fallen off. I don't know. They had their final update for Chivalry 2 earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe their games are just not having the long tail they were hoping for.
Yeah.
And a way to keep these people funded to stay on the team, unfortunately. So yeah, hopefully things turn around for them.
Yeah.
Not for the people that remain, and so they can keep making cool, weird multiplayer games.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's your other bit of bad news.
Yeah.
And, the last studio we have here with the bad news of their own is Illphonic.
Mm-hmm.
Makers of, let me see, they got their list here. Killer Clowns from Outer Space, the game that was this year.
Yep.
Ghostbusters Spirit Unleashed last year. Arcadageddon, Predator Hunting Grounds, which I think they put out on Xbox earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Friday the 13th, the game, and a bunch of others. They announced that they have made cuts to their staff. As the CEO and co-founder, Charles Brungart, mm-hmm. that had to accept the harsh reality of the state of the industry and to realign to a refined strategy with the heaviest of hearts. Today we had to accept the harsh reality that the state of the industry has impacted us here at Illphonic. Mm. It is with the heaviest of hearts that cuts to our team had to be made today as we realigned to a refined strategy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talent in this group, and if you or your team is hiring, please reach out here so people can be connected to open roles. Thank you. Not really surprised. There are games that probably do all right, but not anything that has done super well since like maybe that Friday the 13th game. That's not a lineup of games that would keep a studio of a decent size going at the rate that they seem to have been putting stuff out, like every year or two putting out a new game. And I imagine Killer Clowns from Outer Space, the game, is not one that sells a ton of copies either.
Yeah.
So that is not really a huge surprise, and unfortunate, especially to be getting laid off here in December, right before Christmas and New Year's, and kind of having that be kind of a downer note for the holiday season. Unfortunately, hopefully these people are getting severance packages and all that, but who knows? They don't mention it here, so I'm assuming they may not.
Yeah.
But yeah, more rotten news for 2024 here.
Yeah. I mean, this and last year has really shown that, you know, the industry has been like in a serious contraction.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it's been that way pretty much ever since COVID hit. And it's just, you know, the AAA space in particular, it just got so too large and oversaturated that the bubble just burst.
Yeah.
And now the entire industry has had to do these really drastic course corrections that unfortunately means that a lot of people lose their jobs. And yeah, it's usually not the people whose jobs should have been lost in the first place.
Yeah. Unfortunately, not many CEOs are losing their jobs these days.
Mm-hmm.
Or other execs. But yeah, that is unfortunately the way we are ending this show, on a downer mm-hmm. note, but that happens. Luckily, we have some good things happening this week. As I mentioned earlier, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle is out this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to check out what else is coming out here. Let's see, this will be December. Not too much coming out. Let's see, yeah. Indiana Jones and the Great Circle for the 9th. The Legacy of Kain, a Soul Reaver 1 and 2 Remaster Collection is out on the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Rita's Rewind is also out. I believe that's got a delay on the Switch, and then they're also not putting out multiplayer right away. A couple of delays of features and such there as they get what they've got done out there, instead of putting out a buggier package or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else is here. Oh, Besiege is coming out to consoles on the 12th. That's a fun, if you like Banjo and Kazooie, the game where you're kind of making vehicles and such, that game.
Nuts and Bolts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of that.
Yeah.
But no open world kind of thing to explore. You're just presented with a bunch of people or vehicles or whatever to take out, and you're building vehicles or contraptions or whatever to try and take them out. That's on PS5, PS4, and Switch this week, so that's cool. Let's see what else is on here. The Finals is coming to PS4 as they're trying to get more people to play that game. That one's not necessarily doing so hot. Yeah, not really too much else this week, unfortunately. Yeah, maybe there's some more interesting stuff next week, so.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to checking out the Indiana Jones game. I had to download it and see how huge of a download it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably pretty big, but yeah.
Probably.
But yeah, that is going to do it for the show this week. I think we'll be doing a co-stream of the Game Awards and see what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
What announcements get made there, and what games win awards and all that. That'll be on Thursday. Yeah, what time that is. That'll probably be pretty good to know. I think it's 8 o'clock, I think. Maybe with a pre-show at 7:30. Who knows, but that'll be fun to see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thank you to Brandon and Danner for joining this week.
Always.
Danner was having some connection issues, so he had to bow out
here. Yeah.
Unfortunately, hopefully he's in a more stable internet situation next week. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, we'll be talking about the various announcements from the Game Awards next mm-hmm. week and whatever random stuff happens after that. So yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you, if you enjoy the show, if you let friends and family know, they should check out the podcast and Select Strangers, yeah. You know, who are also bummed out by layoffs in December.
Because it's like the worst time of year to do it.
Yeah. Not that there's any good time of year to do it.
No, but that one is especially egregious.
Yeah. Especially because that's likely tying into for these publicly traded companies when they're announcing financial news. So
mm-hmm.
that's a way for them to get their financials up in the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thank you all for tuning in. I hope you have a good week ahead. We will see you all next time. Have a good one.